Wretched Radio begins in 3, 2, 1.
So it's not a sin in your church to have an abortion?
That's the kind of conversation we would have, finding out your story, where you're from. God's the judge. People have to live with their own conviction.
The science is clear. The Bible is clear. And if we're honest, our intuitions are clear. We know what we're killing. We're killing a human being.
It's time for Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Oh, man, take it away, Elvis.
I'm so lonesome I could cry.
The king of rock and roll ain't the only one, don't you know? This is Wretched Radio. Hey, don't judge. You play an Elvis clip and try not to impersonate him. Go ahead, double dog dare you. The world is willing to admit, like never before, they're lonesome. They're scared. They are feeling purposeless. They are anxious. For instance, the World Happiness Report has come out. And it has been concluded around the globe, people are not as happy as they once were. They're feeling disconnected. They're feeling untethered. And this isn't the only report. All of the studies about anxiety and fear all reveal, yes, we live in a very therapeutic age where people are willing to admit their emotions are less than what perhaps society would think is ideal. But for the church, that's actually a good thing. I know you might hear a lot of people these days who say that they're struggling and they're hurting. For instance, I believe the number is 71% of parents today say they feel like totally overwhelmed. Hold on, I got it right here. No, that's people who are retiring. They're just terrified. Well, here's the retirement story. 61% of working Americans are afraid, more afraid of retiring than dying. Whoa. 64% fear retiring more than getting divorced. What? What is so scary about retirement? Well, this particular article, which is in USA Today, it lists a number of reasons. Obviously, financial can be one. Dwindling health. You're not as vibrant as you once were. But there's other issues. That they have no purpose in life because they're not working anymore and work defined them heretofore. Now you take away what defined you and you're going to feel like, I don't want to do that. Is there any place where seniors could go and have fellowship with one another and download that hard-won wisdom into the hearts and minds of younger people? Jimmy, could you Google that for me so we can try to bigger. But it's parents also. This is from CBC, whatever that is, cbc.ca/news/. Okay. Modern parenting is so stressful that the U.S. issued a health advisory. Parents say it's overdue. A new advisory from the U.S. Surgeon General warns parenting can drastically impact mental and physical health. Citing extreme stress from financial strain, time demands, and societal pressures. Is it harder to be a parent today than it was 20 years ago, 200 years ago? I'm not sure that anybody can really definitively answer that, but I do think we can still see these numbers and say, whoa, maybe it's just the language. I keep coming back to this language thing. The words that you and I would have considered pretty extreme are now normative. So when somebody says these days that they're like totally stressed, it doesn't mean they're totally stressed. It means they're kind of stressed. And you and I hear it and go, well, you said totally because we're more literalists. Maybe it's because of words and definitions that this generation feels like parenting. Just listen to these statistics. In addition to the traditional challenges of parenting, like protecting your children from harm and finances, there are new stressors that previous generations didn't have to consider, said Surgeon General Vivek Murthy. Jimmy, did you know that's our Surgeon General? I had no idea what that was. 41% said that most days they were so stressed they couldn't function. 41%, they were so stressed they couldn't function. Now, again, I hear that and it's like, whoa, that's debilitating. That's like, you're just sitting on the couch. You can't move. You are locked in your bedroom. I doubt that's how they're responding to the stress of being a parent. Nevertheless, 42% said they were so stressed they felt numb. Huh. Are they really feeling numb? Or is this just the lingo these days? Or are we dealing somehow with a generation that's just feeling more pressure? Or they're just feeling more stuff? One of the stressors, this shouldn't surprise any of us, that parents apparently are feeling is being compared to other parents, and they're doing it to themselves via social media. They're constantly going to social media. And what do they see there? Everybody's having fun with their kids. Their house is really neat and tidy. Oh, look at that influencer. They go waterboarding, surfing. I was trying to be relevant. They were waterboarding some people at Guantanamo. And then the next thing you know, they're in their garden planting. Then they're making a fabulous dinner with Michael Bublé in the background. Why isn't my life like that? And because of that, the Surgeon General is saying, they're feeling guilt and shame. Whoa. 48% of parents and caregivers describe themselves as completely overwhelmed. There's a part of this that I think that is not spoken of a lot when it comes to trying to explain why so many people are feeling so, well, pretty much everything these days. The whole society has changed. All of the work that the liberal deconstructionists have successfully done to deconstruct the societal norms, family norms, it's having an impact. In fact, hold on. There was the World Happiness Report, and this was reported at Cripplegate. The reason that so many people are feeling so unhappy, young people, check this out. One of the key reasons Gen Zs feel unhappy is because they do not feel supported by family and friends. We've demolished family. Family is, I have to confess, when I see these TV shows where they're showing family, or especially commercials where all these pretend families are doing Walton Mountain-like things, it's just, to me, it's like, that's all fake because that's not the way it is anymore. Families don't function like that nearly as much as they once did. Acceptance of sexually deviant practices such as homosexuality and transgenderism eliminate the reality of the family. So here is another deconstruction that we've witnessed. I was just looking at Andrew Walker's book. I haven't read it yet. I was just paging through it. And he was saying the sexual revolution isn't on. It's already been won. And what have been the effects of that? It's a redefining of the family and a minimizing of the importance of the family and a mom and a dad and just normalcy, not social media flamboyance, but just normalcy. That's just been stripped away. And people are feeling it. The deconstruction movement, I think we need to start looking in their direction. Why are people feeling this way? Because all of the norms, the societal structures that we once had, you go to church on Sunday. No, you don't. We used to have blue laws, whatever your Sabbath position is. It kind of recalibrated the entire culture. Gone. Families getting together for meals every night. Sports. Families that spend time together, even in front of the TV watching the same show. Gone. Why? Because we all have our own devices so that we can customize our viewing pleasures. This is from Cripplegate. People are redefined family in their own terms. And it will bear rotten fruit. It has to bear rotten fruit. What will members of Gen Z do when they're the older generation but now are forced to grow old alone because so many of their children have been aborted? There's another issue that has caused an effect on people's emotions. As we continue to hear one survey and study after another that reports people are just downright miserable, it's sort of like liberals when it comes to a shooting. What is their first reaction? Guns! Guns! We didn't have guns. This would never happen. But they never ask any other questions like, could this have happened because the kid was on psychotropics? Could this have happened because the kid didn't have a dad? Could it be that he comes from a broken family or a detached family? Let's go take a look at what he's been consuming on his cell phone. None of those things are ever considered, and they should be. Fine, we'll talk about guns, but let's talk about these other contributors. And when it comes to social unhappiness, societal unhappiness, I think we need to start pointing a finger in the liberal direction. That would be to the left, in case you're directionally confused. They got some splaining to do. All right, liberals, you've been successful. The sexual revolution has been won. How's that working out for you? Family has been redefined. How's that working out for you? Kids are encouraged to mutilate their bodies. And how's that working out for you? Oh, now we've got commercials on TV of teenage girls saying, please vote for Kamala so I can have an abortion someday. Disgusting. And how is that working out for you? We need to point an accusing finger, indeed. But then we can also offer an amazing solution. Next on Wretched Radio, man. Would you like the university experience without the, you know, university experience? The Masters University invites you to visit their campus, or you can visit them online at masters.edu/wretched to discover a Christian college that is biblical, that offers all of the academic excellence you desire. Sports, athletics, arts, communication, all of the activities of, you know, a secular university without the, you know, secular parts. Please consider the Masters University online, or, of course, on-campus learning, undergrad, master's, and doctoral programs. It's Masters University, the university with the university experience without the university experience. Masters.edu/wretched.
All right, folks, gather around, listen up, because if you're looking to get transformed and save some serious money, and let's be honest, who isn't these days with Bidenflation making everything so ridiculously high? Well, you've stumbled upon the sale of the century at the Wretched Store. We bundled just about everything we could find to save you some money. First up, we've got the Transformed Bundle, seasons 1-3. Originally priced at $134.94, we've slashed that to $49.99. Or how about the Road Trip to Truth Bundle, seasons 1-4, originally priced at $179.92, now just $49.99. And the grand finale of it all, the Wretched Worldview Bundle, seasons 1-2, originally priced at $89.96, now just $29.99. That's right, binge watch all your favorite resources for a fraction of the price. Head over to the Wretched store right now at wretched.org and grab up these bundles before someone else does. And let's face it, missing out would be a real tragedy.
You're familiar with Tomorrow Clubs. It's a ministry that we have happily lauded over the years. We commend them heartily to you because they are an efficient ministry. They've got the gospel right, and they go to places where the gospel is usually not propagated. Very poor parts of the globe, specifically Eastern Europe and in parts of Africa, the Tomorrow Clubs, working in conjunction with a local church to preach the gospel to the kids, sing, have them memorize scripture, pray, and entire towns are getting saved. We love the Tomorrow Clubs, and if you want to be encouraged and be reminded that Jesus is building his church, they just reached 1,000 of these clubs. That's encouraging, and I'd like to encourage you to please consider become a ministry partner to the Tomorrow Clubs. If you like evangelistic ministries, they're the ticket. They're the bomb. You can learn more at tomorrowclubs.org/wretched, tomorrowclubs.org/wretched.
Important dates in Christian history. 1549. Archbishop Thomas Cranmer produces the Book of Common Prayer for the Church of England.
Henry VIII created the Anglican Church as a mirror of the Catholic Church. But the Book of Common Prayer helped to mold the Church of England into a Protestant church. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Man, yes. Yes, I am going to play more Elvis.
No one would care. No one would cry.
Who's the soprano?
If I should live or die.
Elvis was ahead of his time. A song about taking his own life? That's a decent note. This is Wretched Radio. Suicide rates are up. Depression, psychotropic medication. We're surrounded by people who are feeling blue. And you and I have a better solution than the atheists do. This is just... This is from USA Today. Millions who left U.S. churches seek spiritual homes. So people... They're lonely. They want community. They recognize, well, we just need to be around people. By the way, that's another indicator God exists. Why do we want to be in relationships? It's because God is relational. Why do we want to be in family? Because God is a Trinitarian family. We are a reflection of God. That's why we're called image bearers. We're like Him. Uniquely like Him. And we know that community is good because God exists in community with Himself, and He invites people who will repent and put their trust in Jesus Christ to be in His family so that we can be introduced to Him, brought into His presence, and have a relationship with Him. And honestly, you can concoct all of the schemes you want to feel like you're a part of a community. You can be involved in a gun club. You can be involved on the football team. And those things, they're whispers. They're not bad. They're okay because they're like community. But the ideal community is your Christian community in the context of the local church. So the atheists that have left churches have decided, what are we going to do? And now that we feel so lonesome, we could cry. Well, what have they started? Atheist church. Not kidding. There are a number of them that are reported in USA Today, which gave this a lengthy treatment. USA Today just so often tips its hand. When it's an agenda issue that they want to push, it's a long article. Otherwise, it's like four paragraphs and a big picture with connect the dots. Nevertheless, this is a report on tons of atheist churches. Here's one. It's called C3. Jimmy, are you going to be going to the C3 conference next year?
No, not that one.
I think Josh Bice might take issue with this. It's called the Sunday. They do a Sunday collective. This one is in West Michigan. It describes itself not as a church, but a home for the spiritually homeless, dedicated to pondering existential questions and living out shared values. The C3, by the way, is Christ Community Church. They just don't have the Christ anymore. I just love knockoff stuff from liberals. They just can't get away from it. We hate Jesus. We hate His bride. Let's do atheist church. That's kind of good. We need a name. Well, we don't want to be called something religious, so we'll go with C3, which stands for its former name, Christ Community Church. Some of the most open-minded people I've ever met, says the pastor. Okay, if you're going to just stop plagiarizing from Christianity, would you? Create your own thing. Become a Masonic lodge. I respect that. At least they aren't calling themselves something Christian. Well, I suppose they try to, but they're not. They are definitely not. They're anti-Christian. Sorry to some of my Southern Baptist friends. Call it Nothingville. That's what it's called. Nothingville, which I think is an Elvis song, but I could be mistaken about that. Just stop ripping off our names because you need something. Many, this is from the article, are longing to maintain some sense of spirituality and community in their lives. They're finding it in places, both religious and non-religious. Here's the Aldea spiritual community in Tucson, Arizona. We have no set of beliefs anyone has to adhere to. That's a set of beliefs, by the way, right there, just to point out the irony. They don't have to have any beliefs in order to belong to our community. Desire for community is a human one that transcends culture and religion. It does not transcend religion because community is all about understanding the Trinity. And we're trying to get people back to the simplicity of that, says the pastor of the Godless Church. Heartway Church in Davie, Florida. I tell folks, this is how I see it. But you got to work this out for yourself, said the pastor of Heartway Church, 24 miles north of Miami. I don't offer any sort of certainty. If anything, it's like, let's get comfortable with uncertainty. If I'm not mistaken, that's what drove Nietzsche to kill himself. How bleak is that? There's no certainty. The only thing that's not certain is certain. No, the only thing that's certain is non-certainty, which would be non-certainty and a certainty. So either way, it's a dog's breakfast. Christian, have you been afraid to talk to people about Jesus Christ? Ask them how they're feeling. You've got an opportunity. It's wherever you happen to be positioned. It's on an airplane ride. You're at the bus stop. What you're at work. Ask somebody, how are you feeling these days? I've been reading some studies in USA Today which indicate people are feeling kind of lousy. Parenting, they're just totally overwhelmed. They're fearing retirement. How are you doing? Why do you suppose that is? All right, this isn't evangelizing, but why don't you invite them at least to church? You know, I'm a part of a community. There you go, Jimmy. There's updating the lingo. Not a part of a church. I'm a part of a community. And you could come and visit us. It just happens to be on Sunday morning at 10 o'clock, but we're a community. Come to our church. Maybe you need some answers. I think we've got them for you. Maybe you're groping on a more spiritual level. Why don't you come see if you can get it sorted out with us? That's the very least we can do. Inviting somebody to church, again, that's not evangelism, but that is offering somebody the opportunity to come and hear truth in an actual community. Because all of the other communities, which are knockoffs, they're nothing wrong with them per se. But you'll never know genuine community until you're in the community of Christ. But you could also evangelize them. How does your worldview explain how you're feeling? Do you believe in God? Who do you think he is? What do you think that he must be like? You can do that. I'm telling, 2 weeks ago, I believe, 2 weeks ago, Mrs. Friel and I, we're out having some pizza. And a young man that had waited on us before, it's our local pizza joint, was coming to our table and we're just chit-chatting with him. And I asked him, this is always such a great way to start a spiritual conversation. I said, tell me about your tattoos. And he explained the one tattoo on his arm. It had something to do with God or spirituality. And I said, well, who do you think God is? I don't know. I'm trying to figure that out. Are you open-minded? I think I am. And so I shared with him basically to see it, do a little, I said, let's test and see if you're open-minded. This cup, how did it come into being? Well, it was made. Where? Factory. You ever been there? No. How do you know there's a factory? Well, because there's a cup. Bingo. That's how you know there's a God. You got a creation, there's a creator. And he looked at me, and Mrs. Friel was entirely, it was like she was watching something otherly. The young man said a few more things, but then the young man said to me, is there any chance you'd be willing to go to lunch with me? and talk about these things? Why? Why did he want that? It's because he's groping and he's trying to figure it out. And all I needed to do was start talking about it. And I had lunch with him and he now knows the gospel. The Lord has to convert him, but he knows the gospel now. Just talk to people and use the climate of our current culture to open up the door. Really, you can get to the gospel via their emotional dysfunctionality right now. They're hurting. They're longing. Make sure the gospel is the gospel, that it is judicial, that it is about forgiveness of sins. But that doesn't mean that you can't explain why it is that human beings have emotions in the first place and why they are currently not operating very well. You can explain the garden, the noetic effect of the fall, and you can explain that Jesus Christ, he will transform you and he will renew you and he will save you. I'm not sure there's ever been a better time with fewer excuses to share the gospel. This is Wretched Radio.
And it's now time for a Wretched News break here on Wretched Radio. I'm Jimmy Hicks. Starting in the Lone Star State, a rather bright light has been shined on some fairly tall tales coming from our nation's second in command. Harris and her team have been spinning quite the yarn about doctors in Texas being unable or unwilling to perform life-saving procedures for expectant mothers. But the data, you know, the facts, well, they tell a different story. In the 22 months following the Supreme Court's decision to overturn Roe, Texas doctors performed 113 medically necessary abortions to save the lives of women. That's an average of just over 5 per month, which is actually higher than the pre-Dobbs average of 2.3. Crossing the border to our neighbors up north, we find an intriguing development in the opioid crisis. The Canadian province of Alberta seen a dramatic 55% decrease in opiate-related deaths compared to last year. How did they achieve this feat, you ask? Well, by focusing on a recovery-based approach rather than the so-called safe supply method favored by their more liberal counterparts. Like British Columbia, where the safer supply model is in full swing, overdose deaths remain alarmingly high. Well, to Nebraska now, a legal battle is brewing over a proposed constitutional amendment that would enshrine a right to abortion. The Nebraska Supreme Court has agreed to hear a challenge to the Protect the Right to Abortion initiative, which opponents argue violates the state's single subject rule. Attorneys for the Thomas More Society point out that this initiative isn't just about establishing a right to abortion before viability. It goes much further, potentially repealing a host of existing laws, including parental notification requirements and bans on dismemberment abortions. Almost like the drafters of the initiative were trying to sneak in a few things under the radar. And in a tale that reads like a rejected script for a courtroom drama, a former teacher in Florida has been sentenced to 5 years in federal prison for threatening a judge over her ruling on the state's parental rights in education bill. Stephen J. Thorne, apparently forgetting the basic tenets of civil discourse, left some rather colorful voicemails for the judge. But hey, he did apologize, and in his letter of apology, he admitted he should have waited at least 72 hours before contacting the judge in a polite and professional manner. Or you could have just kept your opinion to yourself. Nobody says if you think it, you have to say it. Probably would have worked out for you a little bit better than spending 5 years in the clink. And finally, in California, the governments of California and tech giants like Google have reached a $242.5 million agreement to fund local news operations. Governor Newsom hailed this as a, quote, major breakthrough in ensuring the survival of newsrooms, or just being able to spin the story in your favor, however you want to look at it. And that's been today's Wretched News Break. More Wretched Radio is straight ahead. I'm Jimmy Hicks.
God has given the church many gifts for the building up of the body. One gift is giving. All Christians are commanded to give, but God has given some an extra measure of generosity so that they can give generously, knowing that God will provide for them as they work to provide for the needs of the church. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Oh, man. It almost hurts to be so right. Told you, Jimmy.
Never doubted you.
Elvis is in Nothingville.
Nothingville.
And apparently a lot of people are there with him. This is Wretched Radio. Another survey asking people, hey, do you feel purposeful? This is from Lifeway Research. Of course. 57% of Americans wonder, how can I find more meaning and purpose in my life? Oof. This is another fruit of a post-Christian society, and we want to make sure that we don't change the gospel into come to Jesus, he'll give you purpose, but he will. And we don't not want to talk about that. People are living in Nothingville right now. And I believe this provides an opportunity for us. The door has been opened. Just walk through it. Why do you think you feel that way? What do you think would bring you purpose? What do you think would bring you transcendence? What would be something in your life that could cause you to say it is well with your soul? Ask people, because they're groping like a nobody's business. And I think we see fruit of that all over the place. All right, this might be a stretch, but being a talk show host, I know that that's okay to do because that's what talk show hosts do. Spirit Halloween. Are you familiar with these stores? You see them in the fall, of course. They take over defunct Bed Bath & Beyond stores. Apparently, the fixtures must still be in the building. And they redecorate it with nothing but Halloween stuff. And it is a lot. I've been to these places. They are massive. I mean, how much Halloween stuff is there? About $12 billion worth. That is according to the people who keep track of these sales. They're selling over $12 billion a year. There are 1,500 of these Spirit Halloween stores. What is that? Why are we seeing that phenomenon? Halloween has always been a thing. For as long as I can remember, Halloween was a thing. We went trick-or-treating as kids. Yeah, there were costumes. And in the public school, you would do a little party and people would pass away the candy. But not like today. I'm telling you, I've observed this over the years. People are decorating more for Halloween than Christmas. They are loving the dark stuff. Why? Why? Why did we latch onto Halloween? Well, we could say it's because it's the dark side, and I think that's a part of it. But I think that people are needing something festive. They need something to look forward to. And please note, there's nothing wrong with that need, that desire. We've all experienced that, haven't we? Hey, I'm going on vacation in a couple of weeks. And it just kind of helps lighten the day a little bit. Thinking about the future. Nothing wrong with that. But why are people turning Halloween into such a big deal? It's because I believe that they need something to center their lives around. I need something that it's like I'm going to this big party, this big event, this big thing, and I get to go shopping and it keeps you busy. And it will never satisfy. We see longings of the human heart all around us. And right now, there are tens of millions of people who believe that they're having those longings satisfied because football season started. There, to me, is another sign. There was a countdown. I would see these commercials. Just 12 days, and finally, football season starts again. Because people love football. And guess what? There ain't nothing wrong with loving football. It's fun to go to a game. The banter, I actually think it's a kind of a cool thing for our culture that we have our colors and we have our teams and you bust each other's chops. And it is, I've never seen it not be good natured. Jimmy, maybe you've experienced that because you've had to defend the Volunteers.
No.
Oh, I'm sorry. You don't like the Tennessee Volunteers?
No, not me.
See, there it is right there. There it is. But you don't hate the people who like the Volunteers.
No, not at all.
Not genuinely. You pretend you do, but you don't. It's a thing. And I think that it can be cool and going to the game and seeing the youthful excitement and, you know, they're screaming their heads off, smelling the hot dogs. That's just lovely. But it's never going to satisfy. Why? Because things can't. Things will always disappoint if they are intended to make you, oh, I have purpose in my life. The survey that was just released, about people feeling life way, saying that like 40-some% feel like they have no purpose in their life. What, it doesn't mean they're not doing anything. Doesn't mean that they aren't decorating for Halloween. Doesn't mean they aren't watching the football games. Why are they feeling that way? Because those things can never give you what they promise. The football countdown, much as I like watching about 3 to 5 minutes of the fourth quarter of a football game, it doesn't bring you the, it is well with my soul. It actually, okay, this is going to sound duplicitous, but that's okay. I'm a talk show host, and the rules don't apply to us. A football game can bring you some degree of satisfaction if the game itself cannot accomplish that. But if you go to a game thanking the one who has provided this gift, then you're going to start to feel like it is well with your soul. Then you're going to start to feel more like, all right, things are in place. They're making sense. Idols will always break the hearts of their worshipers. Football, for millions, is an idol, and it will forever disappoint. And that's why when the season is done, it's like, oh, how many months till football starts again? In hopes that this time their idol will deliver. It's never going to deliver. It can't deliver. But if you appreciate and enjoy the football game because you know that it is God who has made those people that are bringing you some joy and entertainment by watching them throw and catch a football, then you are rightly receiving a gift from God, who should be the idol. When we turn the gift into the thing that should satisfy, always going to be heartbroken, because that's what idols do. They always break the hearts of their worshipers. Go enjoy the football game. I was going to say go enjoy Halloween, but I'm not a fan. You go and go enjoy watching the U.S. Open. Go ahead and enjoy those things, but don't do it without recognizing this is not the end all. This is not going to bring me the happiness. It's not going to bring me shalom. It can be amusing, but it can't bring you peace. Receive it from the giver of those good gifts. And that is how the Christian goes about the business of enjoying life, not becoming monks, not going into a monastery, enjoying things rightly. And we're living in an age where people, I think, are groping. They're just desperate. I think Halloween is a sign, football is a sign, alcohol is a sign, psychotropic medications is a sign. People are looking, and we can help them. And all you need to do is just bring it up. It's all you need to do. Just bring it up. Article from Lee Strobel in Christian Post. He's recognizing that people are feeling really rotten. So the headline of his article says, "Apologetics is the gateway to reaching spiritual Gen Z." I actually have gleaned some good things from Case for Christ from Lee Strobel, but it is absolutely an apologetical approach to conversion. And I do not believe that apologetics convert. Faith comes from hearing from the Word of God. So Lee Strobel, he says, this is how we're going to reach those people who are groping and hurting. Use apologetics. And he does a nice job of summarizing all of the apologetical arguments, the moral argument for God, the teleological, the cosmological arguments for God. Yeah, those are all good, but they don't save anybody. They must hear the gospel. They must hear the Word of God, not philosophical arguments for God. Please note, I use them. I do. I use philosophical arguments. There's nothing wrong with showing the logic and reason of Christianity, but you have to recognize its limits. It falls well short of conversion. Nobody, this is a conversation that's never happened. Hey, did you know that without God, morality can't exist? There can only be preferences, but we can never definitively say for all times, in all places, murder is wrong without a transcendent standard of morality. I never thought of that. I'm a really bad sinner. I have sinned against God in thought, word, and deed, and I need to repent and put my trust in Jesus Christ. That's never happened, because it doesn't happen, because it can't happen, because apologetics, it can scratch an itch, it can satisfy an intellectual curiosity, but we go for the conscience, the courtroom of the brain. Preach the word, use these longings that people have as your segue to get into the conversation. And yes, you can carefully, delicately explain. Jesus will help you with all of these things, but first things first, you have to come to him on his terms. Let me explain those terms for you. You open the law, you preach the gospel, repentance and faith. And these days, I'm telling you, I just don't think that it has ever been a more opportune time. This is Wretched Radio. There are many struggles experienced by our brothers and sisters in Ukraine, specifically those who run the Master's Academy International.
The biggest challenge for men attending TMAI, especially in our context in Ukraine, is the opposition from people in the church who oppose sound doctrine, and therefore men really struggle to transform their ministries in accordance with the Word of God.
The Master's Academy International in Ukraine, fighting a battle on two fronts. You've got Russia, of course, and you have opposition from the church in Ukraine for biblically trained pastors to preach the gospel. Would you please consider supporting the Master's Academy International? Adopt a seminary, 17 different countries. Might want to turn your attention to Ukraine. To learn more about this amazing legacy ministry, visit wretched.org/pastor, wretched.org/pastor.
Hey, thanks for listening to Wretched Radio today. You ever wondered why Jesus compared the kingdom of heaven to a mustard seed? One of the smallest seeds in existence, but it grows into a massive tree. Kind of like how a small act of faithfulness can have a huge impact. That's exactly what we're doing here at Wretched. We're planting seeds of truth through our programs like Wretched Radio and TV, Road Trip to Truth, and Transform. And then we sit back and watch God grow them into something beautiful. But here's the thing. We need more people to join us in this mission, specifically ongoing monthly gospel partners. Your support's not just about keeping our programs on the air, but it's about equipping believers, strengthening churches, and reaching the lost with God's truth. And so would you prayerfully consider becoming an ongoing monthly gospel partner? Just visit wretched.org/donate or text the word wretched to the number 44321. And remember, 83% of every dollar goes directly to ministry. It's a pretty good yield if you ask me. Wretched, amazing grace, amazing gospel.
Preborn Ministries, pro-life ministry, rescuing babies, the war, let me tell you, it's raging out there, and Preborn is right on the front lines providing what is so powerful, ultrasounds. When a woman sees her baby, 80% of the time, it's a no-brainer. That's my child. That's a baby in there, not a blob of tissue. Worldview is getting pumped into everybody through Hollywood, social media, the internet, universities, businesses, and government. If you'd be kind enough to consider supporting Preborn Ministries, that would be groovy. Lives are saved. Women, men, hear the gospel. Please consider supporting this network of clinics that is doing such great work. Preborn.org/wretched. Preborn.org/wretched.
Attributes of God. What does God's patience look like? 2 Peter chapter 3 verse 9 says, "The Lord is not slow to fulfill his promise, as some count slowness, but is patient toward you, not wishing that any should perish, but that all should reach repentance. God is not hurried, nor has he forgotten his promises. God will bring about the fulfillment of his eternal plan in due time." This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Like I said, 57%. This is Wretched Radio. Thanks, Lifeway. Thanks, Southern Baptists, for giving your tithes so Lifeway can provide more research and surveys. 57% of Americans wonder, how can I find more meaning and purpose in my life? I thought it was 40-some percent. 57%. Whoa. They can 21% consider that question every single day. That means a good chunk of our culture every day is asking, what's the point? Hey, Christian, do you know the point? Why would you not share it with people? Maybe you're scared. Maybe you don't know how to get started. Ask them, hey, I just read a statistic. 57% of Americans wonder, how can I find more meaning and purpose in my life? Would that statistic include you? How do you think you find meaning? Where does purpose come from? Have you tried different ways of being satisfied in life? How did they perform for you? Let me explain to you what will actually bring you genuine, lasting, temporal, and eternal purpose, and you can share the gospel with them. And I'm telling you, the place to be doing it, if you can go nowhere else, it is the university campus. Did you hear about Ohio State University? Apparently, hundreds of people gather, dozens baptized, at a revival event at Ohio State University. I saw some of the video. Some of the guys that were running it, they seemed very genuine. They did talk about the gospel, how the thing was presented. Let's hope for the best, and people actually did get saved. But why would kids show up on a university campus to have their questions answered, to try to figure out what's going on? It is because university students right now are leading the way when it comes to, what's the point? What am I doing? This is it? I'm studying because of this. Maybe they thought, whoop-de-doo, this is really cool. I've had the university experience, because freshman year brings the university experience and all of its diseases and hangovers and regrets. And they were having fun. But as a sophomore, and some of them even as freshmen, they're going, oh, what am I doing? This is not cutting it. I'm waking up miserable. I keep going with the flow, and I end up feeling disgusted with myself. What? They're asking. And these events are cropping up all over the country. And I'm hopeful. Let's hope that the gospel was preached. People are genuinely getting saved, and they are indeed getting baptized. I'm a little concerned they're not connecting people to local churches. They're connecting them to campus ministries, which is nice. But that is not ideal. We want to be connecting people to local churches. We share the gospel so that people become joyful, productive, serving members of local churches, because that is their safe place. But this particular article, this is in, I saw it on Fox News, Christian Post is reporting it, another air quote revival happening on a university campus. Why? Why? Are these kids attracted to this? They want to know what's going on. I'm telling you, they want to. This is, Jimmy, I don't think that I've shared this with you. I want to start doing campus events. I want to start going to university campuses, but I want to do it differently. Open air preaching is more challenging than it once was, because everybody's got their earbuds in. Unless you set your hair on fire, they don't even look your way. It's just harder to do. It can be done. It's just harder. But open air preaching can also, almost inevitably, it can get a little zesty. When people hear the gospel, they tend to get a little bit agitated. As sweetly as you talk, they get incensed, because you're saying that Jesus Christ is the way, the truth, the life. So I want to do a campus event where it's an invitation to come and have your questions answered. Trying to figure it out. Trying to figure out the purpose of your existence. Do you have questions about Christianity? Did you go to church as a kid? You came to the university and suddenly you're realizing, whoa, I am not living the way that I was raised. And maybe you've got some regrets. You've got some confusion. Let's talk. And you say, well, that's not going to attract kids. I say, I think it is. I want to test it. We're going to test it out. I want to test out this marketing approach, because I think it will work, because I think the kids are looking, and I know they are, because I talk to them and I see them. Jimmy, did I share the pizza parlor story?
No.
Okay. Mrs. Friel and I were out for pizza. It's our local haunt where we'll go to have a pizza. They've got a really good pizza. Oh, it's called it's got Georgia in it. It's got it's pizza. They've got really good dough. They've got one of the Italian ovens where it's like, so it's not like Domino's. And those commercials, by the way, I know apparently people like that type of food, but I see like a Domino's commercial and an Applebee's commercial, and I'm like, whoa, wow. This is a wood-fired grill. Good pizza. They put apples and blue cheese on it with a little bit of a reductionistic balsamic vinegar. Oh, man, that's good pizza. So we've been there a couple of times, and a young man waited on us. Again, as always, strike up a conversation. They're human beings, not servants. They're human beings who are providing a service for us. And I've met the kid before when we've been there before. And I asked him about his tats. And it is almost a 100% certainty you will find your way to the gospel. Because there's always a story. This one's about my dead somebody. It was a tragedy, so they want to memorialize it with ink on their body. There you go. You're there. It's something spiritual. They took a trip to Machu Picchu, and they wanted to commemorate it on their body because they went there to dig the spirituality. I don't know what brochures they were reading. The point is, this kid had a tattoo, and he mentioned the name God and spirituality. And I said, so who do you think God is? I don't know. I'm trying to figure that out. I said, are you open-minded? He said, yeah. I said, let's test that. This plastic cup, where did it come from? He goes, well, made at a factory. How do you know? You ever been to that factory? No. But you're certain it was made in a factory without actually seeing the factory? Yeah. I said, well, there you go. There's proof God exists. If you've got a cup, you've got a cup maker. If you've got a creation, you've got a creation maker. That's the proof that this plastic cup is proof God exists. And he said, and this is where Mrs. Friel, I saw it on her face. She was like tilting her head, mystified at what she was witnessing. He said, is there any chance you'd like go to lunch with me and talk about these things? Why? Why? Because he's trying to sort it. Went to church as a kid. Went to Christian school as a kid. He doesn't know the gospel. I went out with him. We had a sandwich, and I explained the gospel to him because he didn't know, and he's trying to get it figured out. And Mrs. Friel, when he walked away from the table, went, what just happened there? And I said, well, that's what happens on the campuses all the time. You talk to these kids, and when you're done, they want to keep talking. Because they're trying to figure it out. And if you come alongside of them and you're desiring to explain things, they're willing to listen to you, especially if you take an interest in them. There's no excuse for not evangelizing these days. I'm telling you. All you need to do is bring it up. All you need to do. Stats say evangelical Christianity losing ground in America. This is from George Barna. 10% of American adults identify as evangelical, a figure significantly lower than previous estimates. Whoa. Sup with that? You know what that means? We've lost our evangel. We're not witnessing anymore. So this is what we're going to do. We're going to combine Halloween and evangelism. Now, this is going to be different than what we've done historically. And this we're doing this so that you will have absolutely no excuse to share the gospel with your neighborhood. Historically, for Halloween, we've said, hey, go order a bunch of copies of Don't Stub Your Toe, one of our evangelistic booklets, and then pass them out to the kids who come to your door. Well, we're not going to do that this year. We are not going to encourage you to go to wretched.org and buy them in the store. Instead, we're going to give them to you. You can give away up to 50 booklets for free. Yeah, you got to pay for the shipping, but we will give you the booklets. There's no excuse. It's going to be The Man Who Split Time, 22 proofs that Jesus Christ is God. By the way, I got a really lovely letter from a young man in a prison. We had sent them copies of 13 Reasons to Not Commit Suicide. And he said, boy, they're just hitting the mark because so many young men come into the prison and they are suicidal. Not giving that one away. Instead, that'd be kind of weird for Halloween. Instead, the man who split time. You can get up to 50 cops. Not now. Don't do it now. Too early. Just letting you know. So that you can prepare to share the gospel with your neighbors. Because guess what? They're hurting too. And until tomorrow, go serve your king.